Good evening, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. We have a big show for you tonight. This is our Tuesday Night Live called After Dark. Now, this is your opportunity to ask questions that may arise throughout, the course of our conversation here, as well as any other questions that you may have that you think, hey, maybe Scott can answer that question. Now, normally it's about cases that we're talking about, but feel free to ask. Now, I'm looking at my chat, and for some reason, I'm not getting anything in my chat. I'm not sure why, but we'll figure that out, and then we'll be able to answer your chats. And we don't beg or ask for them, but if you want your chat highlighted, you probably best, depending on how things get going, we will be able to see those right there. And excuse me one second. I'm just looking and it's showing that I got nothing over here. I got duplicate key.
No, go back.
Go back, Frank's telling me here. Frank! This one right here.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, okay. But it was showing up on the other one.
No, you just click on it. That's it.
Okay. Ha! Ta-da! Shocking. It was not the computer's fault. It was operator error. Imagine that. Okay, so what could we possibly have to talk about that we've been talking about, I don't know, for the last couple of years? Well, let me think about it. Isn't there that case in Idaho? That's right, Idaho, right? What's her name? Oh, yeah, Lori Vallow. Anything new happening there? Oh, yeah, absolutely. She was found to be competent, to my surprise and my chagrin. And I want to thank and congratulate everybody who said, Scott, I'm so glad you got it wrong. I get it. But I try, honest with you, all the time. I call it the way I see it. And seriously, based upon my personal experience, when somebody goes off to the state hospital with delusions and they are there for that long as Lori Vallow was, what was it, 6, 7, 8 months, something like that. And, you know, they don't get cured. I mean, my experience is they just don't come back and join us. They're not going to be able to fix them. And then, of course, it begs the question, since the judge said she has been restored to competency. It's a competency miracle. I would love to be a fly on the wall to be able to hear what the conversation was about and to see what the basis of her incompetency was and then figure out what they did to cure her. I mean, like I said, I'm not her doctor, don't know, don't have any inside information, but my guess is one word, drugs. Lots and lots of drugs are probably what cured her. That's what I think it is. And then, once again, I'm just going from my own personal experiences, not from me, but from other cases that I've seen and handled. I've seen cases, for example, somebody's literally, you know, they're down at the hospital for many, many, many months. And basically, they dope them up on heavy drugs. I think the drug that I see most often is Halidol. And it makes people pretty chill, I think is the best way to describe it. And my experience from seeing, I didn't handle the case, but they basically get them so doped up that they'll agree to just about anything, usually to plead guilty. But then they get off their meds and things get ugly and go downhill from there. But the courts don't care. As long as somebody's guilty, you know, when they're competent, when they plead guilty, that's the only thing that matters, right? Oh, our driver is here, Frank. Or Julie. Yeah. Sorry about that. We have ordered dinner, and as usual, we ordered it late because Scott was on the phone, and then, of course, it arrives right during the show. That's the way it goes. So anyway, we got Lori Vallow to talk about. We'll take a look at some of the questions, and feel free. I have very thick skin. I can take it. when you say, ha, 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 Scott, you were wrong. You were wrong, Scott. You know, we'll see. And as Lizzie here, I see Lizzie Two Shoes, Crime Talk. She was probably refusing medical treatment for the first several months, and could be. They could have medicated her against her will. We don't know. Somebody else, Elizabeth Adivan, I've seen it in nursing homes. you know, we'll see. Beverly, super chat. Would Chad divorcing Lori at this point save his ass, or is he facing the death penalty regardless? Regardless. I mean, I don't even see any bonus points for him for getting married in this particular case. There's nothing, it's not like he can assert some sort of marital privilege or anything along those lines at all. So, you know, I don't see any tactical advantage, frankly, if I think anything, it hurts him. But, you know, I've made no secrets about it. Well, my theory of defense would be, if I was Chad's attorney, would be, oh my God, that woman conned me. I cannot believe what she and her brother, Alex Cox, did to those children. They completely played me. I had no idea. And look, she fooled the world for how long? She fooled her attorneys for over a year till they said, hey, we need to have her comped, right? That's going to be, I didn't know. I think Alex Cox did it. That's what he's going to blame. He's going to point the finger at the two of them and Marilyn Petty. Brunette? I think she'll be gray. And I'm going to go with the gray as well. And we're not making fun of anybody's appearance. Let's just be clear. But, you know, it was very clear that Lori Vallow was somewhat very vain when it came to her appearance. And even in custody, she wanted to look pretty when she went to court using the jailhouse method of making lipstick, which was the red M&Ms and things like that. They come up with all kinds of tricks to do that. Because I think if I go to court and I look pretty, the judge is going to, you know, swoon me and it's going to be great and it's going to make a difference. Yeah, nobody cares. Like, you're in jailhouse garb. Nobody cares what you look like. Seriously. But yeah, my guess is it's going to be gray. Definitely not going to be blonde. And we'll just have to wait and see on that. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But we'll see. And like I said, hey, I was wrong. I got it. But guess what? Scott does not ignore it. Scott stands by why he thought he was right, even though it turned out, well, he wasn't in this particular case. Anyway, that's the way you go. So anyway, for those of you who do not know the official language here, the court found on April 11th that Lori Noreen Vallow, a.k.a. Vallow DeBell, is restored to competency and is fit to proceed. The order stating the case is lifted, transferred from the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare, remanded to the custody of the Fremont County Sheriff to be transported and brought before this court. Arraignment shall take place on April 19th, 2022 at 1 p.m. And we will bring it to you. And who knows, maybe if all the planets align, we'll jump in Crime Talk 1 and head over there and maybe get to see Lori Vallow for herself. Wouldn't that be a treat? Yes, it would. We'll just have to see the way things turn out. I got a busy couple of weeks. And then at the end of the month, we're going to be at Crime Con. Never been, first time, but it looks like it's a pretty big event. And then there's going to be all these famous people, and then there's going to be little old me there. But you all, if you come, you can come say hi to me, Frank, Julie, lovely Miss Kristen will be there. Miss Winnie, the bulldog, has her own nanny to stay home with her. So yeah, come join us and come say hi. Let's see. RHI bred, common signs behavior that suggests incompetence. Common signs of behavior that suggests incompetence. Well, normally when you see somebody as an attorney and you come to talk with them and you know usually pretty quickly something's not right here, okay? You ask them, have you ever been diagnosed with anything? Oh, they say, yeah, I didn't. I have various diagnoses. But I haven't been taking my medications. Okay. Well, do you know why you're here? Well, I'm here because of this, and the little blue men did this, and you just kind of know it when you hear it. Something doesn't seem right. And they have to be able to assist in their defense, okay? Sometimes the guys, you know, let's say, for example, if a client is schizophrenic and they tell you, I haven't been taking my medicine because I can't afford it, but my medicine makes me feel better or worse, but I haven't taken it, you're probably getting close if the guy has just doesn't really know what's going on, why he's there. You kind of know it when you see it, okay? My experience with clients have been delusional, okay, is that they do not, I mean, I'm telling you, it's the weirdest thing. What's the word I'm looking for? You wouldn't think walking down the street or maybe even having a brief conversation with them that anything was wrong with them, okay? But there's usually one thing that they keep coming back to, okay? And when I say delusional, it's weird because, I mean, we've seen clients have come to us. And, I mean, remember early on, it's like, hey, I need to, you know, I'm being stalked or I'm being followed. Okay, well, I can't really help you, but here's the name of a private investigator or something. No, I want an attorney too because they're going to get me. They're out to get me. Okay. And then you quickly, you know, the investigator sleeps in their house to make sure nobody comes in their house because they're convinced somebody's coming into their house when they're either there or not there. And so they're completely paranoid about it. And basically, you just kind of get that, like, something's not right. They don't think correctly like everybody else. And they really can't help, let's say, if they're charged with an offense, they can't really assist in their defense. I mean, literally, I've raised competency issues when you go and you talk with somebody. Like, I'm here to talk about your case. And literally, you spend 2 hours talking about everything other than the case. And it's stuff that's completely irrelevant, but that's all they want to talk about. So you have to be able to assist in your defense. So we will probably never know the extent of what was said that made it rise to the level of competence issues. We probably won't be told what made it rise to the level where she was deemed not competent for, 7 months, I think it was. And then all of a sudden, she's back. I mean, I'm curious to see. I mean, tell me she's delusional. She's not competent. I get that. I want to know what fixed her. And how do we know she's not going to get broken again, so to speak? Because remember, competency can be raised throughout the proceedings, okay? I've seen it raised as recently, or, you know, I've seen it raised early on in the case where they say, okay, they're restored. Maybe defense counsel objects and says, no, judge, I'm telling you, there's still competency issues. We need to have, you know, the client reevaluated. Judge says, no, I've already ruled. And then the defense keeps bringing it up saying, judge, my client, I'm telling you, I have a good faith basis for it. You know, I know we're a day or two before trial, but I can raise it. I've seen it raised during trial where literally sometimes people have had like a nervous breakdown or something, so to speak. And it's very fluid. People can be competent one day and not the next. All right, let's see here. AT member, let's see here. Yeah, let's hope she stays competent for the trial. Well, now you know whose ball is in his court. The ball is in his court. Judge Boyce. It's now the judge's responsibility to keep this case moving forward and with some hard and fast deadlines that mean something. And to the extent that the, you know, if people don't comply, guess what? There's a remedy for that. You can't use the evidence. Like the Barry Morphew case, which we'll talk about in a few minutes when we're done talking about Lori Vallow. Let me take a couple more look at the some questions here as it relates to Lori Vallow. Let's see. So is it that a person doesn't understand? This is R.H. Bread. So is it the person doesn't understand that they did anything wrong, or they don't understand the case, or believe that they are definitely going to get out of it for an absurd reason. It can be a combination of all those things. It really can. You don't know kind of why you're there, what you did wrong. You have no memory, isn't part of that. But literally, like, you know, someone will have, like, I wasn't taking my, and like I said, you don't become incompetent, you know, like, because you're drunk. That's not incompetent. I don't have any memory of the night I was drunk. I don't have any memory of the accident. I was too drunk. That's not it. I had a case once where it was a situation where it was an assault at a nursing home. And people had traumatic brain injuries there. Anyway, if anyone's ever known anybody with traumatic brain injury, they're not kind of usually the same. It just depends. Some people recover from a traumatic brain injury rather quickly. Others take years, decades. Sometimes people never recover. Anyway, well, this particular person assaulted somebody at the nursing home, but he had a traumatic brain injury. He's there. He can do the basic functions, but does he appreciate what's going on? No. Can he assist in his defense? No. That would be another example of somebody who's not competent to proceed. So you got mental health issues, you know, maybe schizophrenia, something along those lines. Then you have issues of, you know, maybe there's a brain injury. They just can't participate, you know. We don't take people to trial and bring them in a wheelchair and have them sitting there drooling and, you know, prosecute them no matter what, how bad they've done something. It just doesn't work that way. So hopefully that answers your question. Sally says, I think as soon as the trial starts or just before, she'll end up there again. You know, we'll have to see. Now, this is going to be interesting. Something to think about. Okay. I don't have any inside scoop. I wish I did. I wish I had an inside scoop to all of this stuff that was going on. Okay. Stephanie says, please read my super chat. Let me find it, Stephanie. Sorry, I didn't see it. Sometimes it goes by so fast that you can't do it. Okay, I thought I read the green one.
How bummed do you think Chad is that he can't say Lori's crazy in an estate hospital at his trial?
Oh, I don't think he is bummed at all. Okay, I found it. Sorry, Stephanie. Thanks for the super chat there. Question, how bummed do you think Chad is that he can't say Lori is crazy and in a state hospital at his own trial? Well, yes, it would be better for him if she was still in the state hospital. But listen, everybody's going to know that she was in the state hospital, okay? And one way or the other, that's coming into trial, whether through the admissible rules of evidence or through some other way to ring that bell before the jury, okay? And, you know, Chad, unless the prosecution completely blows up this case on their own, right? I would see Chad is going to have to testify in his own defense. If he doesn't testify, he's done. That's just my thinking, okay? He's going to have to be able to explain how he got involved, what he did, how he did never do anything wrong. I thought, you know, didn't know anything. Alex, those were the weird ones. Have you noticed I wasn't around when anything weird happened? Because they did it when I wasn't there because they knew I would never stand for stuff like that, right? That's what I think his defense is going to have to be. But how does he get that in? Now, always the defense is looking at what information can I get in for my defense through another witness so I don't have to have my client testify. That's what you're always trying to do. What evidence do I need so that my client does not have to testify? But in this particular case, I think he's going to have to be his own best witness. And I don't know. He's got a tough road. All right. Let's not try to sugarcoat it. No one's trying to get clickbaits by saying, Chad DeBell's got a great case. No, he doesn't. Anytime there's a dead body, particularly children, you know, the general rule is somebody's going to have to go to prison. That's just the way it is. So, yeah, that's just kind of the way it is. And certainly Lori Vallow, not good. Depending on if she's restored, how good the meds are, you know, does she realize what may have taken place? Does she realize her kids are gone? Or is that part of the delusional state? Like, oh my gosh, my, you know, if she's truly competent, right? Before it was kind of like, remember they were the, what was the word she, they used? The dark spirit or something like that, I think was what the terminology they were using, that they had the black spirit, dark spirit, and they needed to be extinguished, right? That was kind of their thing. But if she's out of, you know, that zone, so to speak, is she then like in normal mom mode? Like, oh my God, my babies, my children are now gone and deceased. You know, how can I live with myself? You know, something along those lines, right? Where she's going to say, oh my God, let me tell you what a bad person Chad is, by the way. Save me from going to prison for the rest of my life. Or, you know, don't kill me, right? You know, going back to some of those early interviews where, you know, Rob Wood was accused of tampering with witnesses and things like that, which I thought was completely inappropriate allegation to make by Mr. Mark Means. But, they made him. And the judge said, there's nothing inappropriate here. And I was like, I don't see anything inappropriate. He was walking the line of, you're a witness, you're a family member, I got to comply with the VRA, you're in a tough spot. You know, it's, you know, your nieces and nephews, and, you know, your sister, but, you know, need you to do the right thing. But then he was saying how Chad was the manipulative one, right? So maybe that she gets a little bit of play there, maybe a little mitigation to the prosecutors. Maybe if she pleads guilty and agrees to testify against Chad, you know, she can, you know, not get the death penalty or something along those lines. You just never know. Comment, Brenda, you are wrong. She is clever and just malingering. She just played the system and now it didn't work out and for her and got caught. Well, if that was the case, if it was malingering, and who knows, like I said, I would like to be able to trust the doctors, nurses, you know, the psychiatric nurses in this particular situation that monitored her for all of these months. Usually they can call out malingering pretty darn quick and they do it. And if that's the case, guess what? That can be used against her at trial, right? Kind of consciousness of guilt. Elizabeth Gregory, you're pretty famous, Scott. Hardly. Corey, I hope she's in person. Kay and Larry really want to breathe down her neck. I'd love to see them, to see her in person. Yeah. Kay and Larry will be there. Good for them as well. They should be. They have a right to be there, right? And it's going to be in person. Oh, just bring on the circus. Here it comes. Let's see here. Susan Vaughn, where is CrimeCon? Las Vegas, April 30th, right? 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. First time there. Not exactly sure what we're doing. Not exactly sure if we go to anything or we just sit in our little booth and meet and greet people. I don't know. We're going to play it by ear. But I think that we're able to go live and we can do interviews. So maybe we can set up a little podcast there and, you know, cameras go live and we can interview any, you know, hey, you look like a famous person. Get over here, Dr. Lee. Come have a seat. Let's chat. We'll see. Rebecca, Scott, do you think they will bring her psychologist or whomever was treating her to say what the problem was while she was there? No, I doubt it. The determination has been made. I was trying to look through the Idaho statute just procedurally to see what takes place. And it doesn't appear to really be like the one that I'm familiar with. Here, somebody says, okay, they're competent. And then you have a hearing if you want to, or you can get your own expert. We've kind of seen that in Letitia Stauch, right? Competent, not competent. NGRI, not NGRI. we kind of have this thing. Idaho seems a little more simplistic. As you may recall, you know, they found her not to be competent. Then the prosecution was going to have their expert say he wasn't competent, but then they said, you're right, she's not competent. So they sent her down to the state hospital, and now she's back. So unless that issue raises its ugly head again, there should be no reason to have hearings on that from here on out. We'll have to see. You know, Mr. Archibald seems like a really smart guy. You know, probably thinks, you know, but this is what the sign of a great attorney is. Great attorneys, you know, obviously do not represent everybody that they like, so to speak. Okay. It's easy representing everybody you like, but a great lawyer can represent anyone. Okay. Particularly the ones you completely disagree with. That's the sign of a great, great lawyer. And remember, lawyers are defending the constitutional rights, not just for their clients, but for everybody that comes after them as well. Okay. Summer Mead. Hey, so when the trials start, will they be there together? Yes. Yes. Donna wants to know, how are you this evening? Well, you know, Donna, it's been a long week and it's only Tuesday. Okay. It's only Tuesday. Didn't have court today, but yesterday was a marathon. Busy breaking day. With everything going on, so to speak, right? What's the word I'm looking for? All the stuff going on yesterday, and it was just crazy. I don't think I got back to the office till like 4:30 yesterday. Sorry. Got to check on something there. Anyhow. So, yeah, it's been a busy couple of days. And then I got to figure out what's... I got to go to court on the other side of the universe. Be there by Thursday morning. But the weather doesn't look like it's great in the mountains. So I'm not sure I got to fly. If I got to go to drive. But I've got some clients spread out all over the state, so maybe I'll just take a little road trip across the state of Colorado. Maybe I'll bring you all along for the ride. We could do that. Show you everything in this. Let's see here. Susan Vaughn wishes she could be there. I'm not sure if it's Vegas. Okay, Veronica. CrimeCon is April 28th through May 1st. P. Willie, juror question. Have you ever been diagnosed as a zombie? Let's see. Steak and taters. I'm so happy that she was found competent. I never believed her to begin with. Big faker. Denise Austin, maybe for now, but it can and could happen again. And if and when that will stop the court again. So we'll see Lori shows and who needs Broadway. That's right. What do they say? Reality is stranger than fiction, right? Let's see. Lindsay, describe so we can help. Sorry. I wish. Well, Donna Barnes. Apparently, there's like a virtual something, right?
Yeah, I was kind of writing it in the chat.
Okay.
I'll post it on the community page and
finally
know.
Julia, paste it on the community page as things become final. We'll see. I don't know. Like I said, it's our first time there. We're just going to check it out. We were going to go like 2 years ago, and then COVID hit, and then there was nothing to do. They canceled it. So this is the first one back, but they got lots of people, lots of, you know. And it's going to be like real life because there's going to be all these former prosecutors. I think Dr. Phil's going to be there. There's going to be all these prosecutors and victim advocates and victims' family members there. And then there's going to be me. I don't think I saw any other defense attorneys there. Just me. It's going to be just like real life. Just like real life, walking into the courthouse. All these prosecutors, most hated guy in the room. I can see it now. The guy that everybody hates until they need him, right? Let's see here. Yes, I just saw this too. Gilbert Gottfried died. Yep, 67. That's too bad. Question, clumsy clairvoyance. Have you ever had a client or a case in which they seemed paranoid or delusional but turned out to be right? You know, there are so many deep issues that go to that particular question, okay? And this is why what I literally say all the time, you can't make this stuff up, because you think, oh, this is so bizarre, right? And I'm telling you, this is so weird, because people are going to say, yes, Scott. Let me I've had cases where clients have come and said, you know, the government has accused clients of doing A, B, and C. And they're like, that's not what happened. Let me tell you what happened. And you just sit there and you're thinking, I'm going to have this person comped, or this is the craziest thing that's ever happened. But who knows? It could have happened that way, okay? And there's been a couple of cases where I'm like, this is just too crazy. This is just too crazy to take place. There's no way it could possibly happen. But then you start investigating it, and you're like, holy cow. Everybody thought this guy needed to be comped because that was his story. And it turns out, like, that's what happened, right? And you're just like, huh, okay. And I remember once I had a case. It was so weird. And I wish I could get in all the details, but I, for obvious reasons, I can't. Client was accused of things, and he was not originally from the United States. He was from an African nation. Very nice man. Very nice man. And, you know, first of all, he was just like, this is what happened. This is, and I'm like, all right, maybe there's a cultural thing. I just didn't know. I didn't get it, but we're going to work with it. He was adamant he wasn't going to take a plea. So I'm like, let's go to trial. Who am I to say? Everyone's entitled to their day in court, no matter how crazy the defense may be or sound. Who were there? We weren't there. How are we to say it didn't happen, right? So we go to trial, and this guy, he first day he showed up in like an orange zoot suit. I'm like, make sure you wear a nice suit. And he shows up wearing this big old zoot suit, you know, like with the coat hanging down to the knees and bright orange. Next day was bright blue. Only thing we're missing, like a big fedora kind of thing. It was interesting. Had a client show up once in literally a tuxedo, a blue tuxedo. It's the best he could come up with. You know, it's like, okay, not exactly my choice to go to court, but if it works for you, let's do it, right? So anyway, we're in this case, the guy with the zoot suit, and he kept making this big deal about this couldn't have happened because they were somewhere getting in the goat, because they were going to sacrifice, you know, kill the goat and eat it, have some sort of big feast. And he's like, make sure you ask the question about the goat. I'm like, okay, all right, because corroborate what he said. And I'm like, isn't it true during this time that the defendant was with you? Yes, and you were in a different county, a different jurisdiction. Yes, completely. And what were you all doing? You were there to get a goat, weren't you? She's like, yes. And, you know, client like stands up vindicated. He could have lost the rest of the trial, but that was the important thing. By God, because he was there to get the goat. Okay. And it was just weird. It was crazy. And jury found him not guilty of some really bad things. And they said they liked his passion. I talked to the jury. That's when I talked to juries. And I'm like, oh, we like his passion. And the whole goat thing was really interesting. Okay. You just never know. And so the stuff where people seem truly paranoid, it's like, yeah, I've seen it. And you just think, I mean, I've had situations where people come to me like, they're out to get me, they're doing this, they're doing that. You're like, they're not. They're really not. They're not doing that. And then it turns out, oops, the government was, you know, wiretapping their phones, you know, for other reasons. But yeah, things were going on. Okay. And you know, there's lots of things in life these days where remember, a lot of people have been branded crazy, paranoid. How dare you doubt this? How dare you question anything? And it's turned out that, well, maybe they were right or really close to right. And so you have to kind of take what they say with a grain of salt, right? It's just weird. It's just weird. You don't know. Because some of the most bizarre things in the world, I mean, I still think, and I think this is going to be interesting, but I don't want to get banned because when we mentioned it, I swear we got banned, okay? But seriously, think about it. If somebody has told you 2.5 years ago they were going to shut down the economy, people would be like, that's not going to happen. No way. No. Seriously, no way, right? If somebody told you 60 days ago, you know, there would be talk of nuclear war because of what's going on in Ukraine and Russia. That's ridiculous. Who would think that? No way, right? But this is what got us shadow banned, I think, the other day. When we started talking about, let's say somebody was, I don't know, the president of the United States. And, you know, the president of the United States maybe has a son who, you know, for lack of a better term, is a crackhead, right? Maybe he's recovered. I wish him well. It happens. But who? Someone would say that the vice, you know, the president of the United States' son, who's a crackhead, who kept all of his alleged illegal dealings and documenting his life of complete debauchery and drug use, that he forgets his laptop at a computer repair store, right? I remember when that story first came out, I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And then there were people like, oh, that's just Russian disinformation. You know, you can't believe that. And who was it? It wasn't just the now president's campaign. It was all the officials in the government. Oh, we've looked at it. It's just Russian disinformation. Don't be so silly. And then quietly, a couple of news organizations said, yeah, it's real. It's really, you know, they corroborated. They went and talked to people on the emails, compared the emails, like that was his, right? And now, you know, the New York Times 2 years later, oh yeah, sorry, man. Yeah. We completely lied to you. We dragged our feet in checking out whatsoever, whether it's true or not. I mean, people got banned from Twitter for that stuff, right? And people are like, no, it's like, remember the guy there, they're trying to make him out. He's crazy. He's like, I'm just a computer repair tech. The guy didn't take his come back and pay for his laptop. I get it after a certain number of days. Here it is. I gave it to the FBI and nobody did anything, right? They just, he was crazy. How dare he spread this misinformation, right? They tried to, people tried to destroy his life. And it turned out he was just trying to tell the truth, right? And I'm just saying, take it with a little bit of grain of salt when people, you know, first thing you have to always wonder, right, is why does somebody not want them to say something? Now, I get it. If the person that's being talked about can prove that it's absolutely false, then you can just take them to court. But if it's not false and, you know, the defense of truthfulness is a complete defense to, libel and slander and things of that, defamation, why do we want to shut something? You just have to wonder, what is so urgent about shutting this down? What is so bad about this information coming out? I think I saw something the other day. It was a nice little quote. It's like, you know who controls you when you can no longer criticize them, right? I mean, think about it. Do you get to criticize your boss? I mean, Frank and Julie criticize me. Scott, that idea sucks, right? But I want their input. Hey, if that works, anything we do to make it better, let's do it, right? So, anyway, enough about that. Hey, Caitlin Bailey is tuning in from Okinawa, Japan this morning. Well, thanks for joining us. Allie Cattails, thoughts on Judge Lama's latest filing regarding Barry Morphew. Great segue, Allie. Great, great segue. Have I got a lot to talk about with that? Okay. What it's like the Morphew defense took, let's see here. They took, this is...
Send lawyers, guns, and money.
They sent lawyers, they're hired guns, and he's got money. Although I think he's probably running out based upon it. But let's face it, Barry Morphew, he's winning, okay? And the most recent filing by, let me get my stack of stuff here. The most recent order by the judge who excluded from the prosecution's case 14 of their 16 expert witnesses, okay? And I told you when the motion for dismissed, motion to dismiss for discovery violations was, the sanction was, dismissal is extreme remedy, extreme sanction, and very unlikely. And the judge notes that in his order, his some 20-page order, whereby he says, hey, I don't do this very often. The court doesn't take imposing sanctions lightly, particularly on a first-degree homicide case, but the court cannot ignore the pattern, as he described it, a pattern of basically ignoring the court's deadlines and basically saying, judge, we don't have to do what you need to do. We'll get it to them, the defense, when we are damn good and ready. And the court said it is a pattern of violations. It's clear to the court. It is clear to the court. There is a pattern of discovery violations in this case attributable to the people. That means to the prosecution. The people, he goes on to all their discovery violations, says, while the court, for the reasons stated below, does not find this pattern willful, although he's kind of saying it's willful, does not find this pattern willful based on the record, the court does find this pattern to be negligent, bordering on reckless. Okay, that's significant. And for those of you who maybe joined us and maybe not familiar with the Barry Morphew case, he is allegedly, he's accused of being responsible for the death of his wife, Suzanne Morphew, who disappeared on Mother's Day back in 2020. And let's just say, even the court notes, the court was not apprised of all the information, particularly the DNA that was discovered in the car as it relates to the glove compartment that just happens to be associated with unsolved sex crimes in Arizona and Illinois. Okay? That's significant. That's significant, ladies and gentlemen. Prosecution yet didn't put that little bit of exculpatory information in their 120 some odd page affidavit for arrest warrant. Okay? Bad. Okay? And then the judge goes through, and I'm not making this up. This is the court's order dated April 8th, right? And the court issued their order and basically told the prosecution, I'm excluding all these witnesses because you screwed it up. I gave you deadlines. I even gave you additional deadlines, right? But then, although it's a little weird, the people's motion to partially reconsider, this is the March 10th order, and of course the court gave this order April 8th. And this motion that the people filed, okay, like I said, if I was the prosecutor on the Barry Morphew case, okay, and the scathing, words from the court, I literally would be like, I can't practice law anymore. I'm a terrible attorney. I need to go do something else. But practicing law is not one of them. And I mean, it's bad. I mean, when the court's noting I'm doing this, but the court doesn't find the reduction of charges is appropriate. I get that. Dismissal, it's not really the court's prerogative to do that. And they also said reducing his bond was not appropriate, which I think is interesting. You know, $500,000 cash tied up in this, you know, when you got attorneys to pay, that's a lot of money that could go to your defense. And it's that order. We read it the other day. I should probably do it, but there's an order or a motion that the people filed. And what can I say about it? I could read it to you, but basically it's saying, Judge, please reconsider your order striking expert witnesses. And the prosecution goes through, Judge, we didn't maybe turn over everything that we were required to do, but we turned over enough. And really, it's the defense attorneys that are the ones that are being unscrupulous because they're saying that, the prosecution has said, go look for it yourself. Well, bottom line is, just because you turn over a report doesn't make it an expert witness report, okay? Just you detailing the discovery, what you did, is not a report. An expert witness report is what the witness is going to testify to. And normally, an expert witness report is confined to what is in that report. Nothing further gets to be testified to at trial, no expert on the fly, so to speak. If it's not in the report, it doesn't exist. Those deadlines are absolute, okay? Try not turning over an expert report in a civil case. Turn it over late. Guess what? Other side files a motion to strike. Court said, did you turn it over late? Oh yeah, we did. Excluded. Guess what? You're now going to trial without your expert. Uh-oh, you may want to call your malpractice carrier, right? That's what happens. Bottom line. So that's kind of what happens. If you don't turn it over on time, you don't get to use it. And the court said you didn't turn over any of these things. And the court, been around a little while. I mean, they know this is not a easy thing to do, okay? But it is in the sound discretion of the court, and unless the appellate courts can say that this is a, what's the word I'm looking for? Unless the appellate courts say it's an abuse of discretion, but that would be unlikely, okay? Because the court has the discretion. They're the ones that make the record. They're the ones that hold the hearings. If there's something in the record, then they think that they will be able to do that, okay? It's going to be held up on appeal. That's significant. But listen to these words from the prosecution. This is very, well, it's, I hate to say it because I don't want to be accused of being wrong. But this is what I said was going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. I told you. The judge is not going to dismiss the case when the defense was saying dismiss, dismiss, dismiss. The judge isn't going to do that. It's an extreme remedy. Although it sounds like he's getting close, okay? But I said he can always gut their case. And I said that's what he did. Listen to this paragraph of the prosecution's motion asking the court to reconsider their March 10th, 2022 order striking expert witnesses. From the prosecution, I note, the exclusion of these witnesses damages the people's case in a profound way. In a no-body homicide case such as this, the timing surrounding the victim's disappearance is everything. The defendant admits he is the last person to see Suzanne Morphew alive, and thus his credibility is the central question the jury must resolve. By excluding the most damaging impeachment information against this defendant, which includes cell phone data, truck telemetrics, and GPS/CDR locations, the court has imposed sanctions tantamount to dismissal, with the defendant suffering a complete windfall. Okay? And goes on, says, the court's basis for the sanctions was derived from perceived prejudice. The defense suffered in not knowing what people's expert would testify to. This motion for reconsideration aims to clear up the factual record and in turn shows the defense assertions that the court relied on to be false or completely exaggerated. As a subsequent issue, this court also found an additional Rule 16 violation at the hearing on March 30th, 2021, but again found the violation was not willful and striking individual witnesses was a sufficient sanction. And basically asking the court to go on to, you know, reconsider the court ruling. And then we know the court not only did not reconsider that, but he issued the order on April 8th, basically saying, yeah, not going to do it. And since you made me write out a 20-page order, I'm not going to change my mind. Once judges rule, they usually don't change their mind. So really, what can the prosecution do? Well, they can go forward with their case without all of these witnesses that would basically be there to try and impeach what Barry Morphew had said, basically saying that he is not being truthful. You said you were here at this time, but this data shows that you weren't, and things of that nature. None of that's coming in. So really, it does gut their case. And so the question then becomes, will the prosecution be able to go forward with the case? I think they have basically two remedies that they could try to do to save face. One, they could try a Rule 21, which is an extraordinary writ to the Colorado Supreme Court to answer a unique question of law, so to speak, regarding a case. It's also known as an interlocutory appeal, so to speak, when the government loses like a motions hearing to a motion to suppress, right? And basically they have no evidence going forward that they can't use. They can file and say, judge, we lost our motion. We have no evidence left. They go to the Supreme Court. Sometimes the Supreme Court takes the case and they either affirm or reverse, or they just don't take it and the district court case matter goes forward. So there you go. That's the remedy. They can try to ask the Supreme Court to do it. And if they're going to do that, they better hurry because speedy trial doesn't toll. And one of the things the prosecution said in their motion to reconsider was, judge, really the appropriate remedy here is a continuance. Oh, no. Let me get this straight, Mr. Prosecutor. You failed in a pattern of misconduct to do your job to return over the necessary exculpatory information as well as the reports according to the court's order. And since you didn't do that, you want the defendant to waive his speedy trial rights. Yeah, no. Why would anybody agree to that? That's not when I've said this before. When the prosecution files that case, they have an ethical obligation to say, when I file these charges, when I'm going to say I'm going to go get this guy arrested, I have an ethical obligation to say I can prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt and I'm going to convict him. And it means all my evidence is ready to go. You don't get to piece your case together along the way. Well, it's going to take some time. Now, sometimes that happens in cases and it's a fine line. Like, do I go forward? Do I wait? I really kind of need it to be effective, but man, I don't think they're going to be ready. But what if there's something really bad and they get it? You just never know, right? But in this particular case, I mean, I hate to say it, Barry Morphew, his counsel are winning. They're kicking the butt of the prosecutor in every way. And the prosecutor, Ms. Stanley, you know, going on webcasts and podcasts and saying that, you know, he's guilty and talking about the case, even though there's a gag order. Like, what are you doing? She's probably going to have a grievance afterwards. It's just crazy. Yeah. So I don't know what to say. The other thing they can do is try to dismiss the case and say, judge, we reserve the right to refile. Some people say without prejudice. Doesn't really begin in there, but you know, the prosecution would have to have some substantially new evidence before they could do that. You can't just, you know, dismiss and then get all your ducks in a row and say, now we're really going to charge you. You kind of had your shot. That's why you shouldn't have brought the case if it wasn't ready. Oh, you may want to ask your lead investigator on the case who said the case wasn't ready. The one you fired because he said and criticized the case was no way ready to go forward. So, Caroline, is preponderance the evidence when you have a lot of canine tracking evidence to present? Not sure I understand that question, but no. The preponderance of, the canine tracking, it actually helps the defense in this particular case. So I'm not sure why they're going to, I don't think they're going to be able to bring that in. I think that was excluded. And it showed a negative scent. I don't know. Let's see. The worst part is Barry Morphew is guilty as they come, according to Carrie, and the prosecutors are going to destroy any chance of justice for her. Well, let me make this perfectly clear. If Barry Morphew is found guilty at trial or charges are dismissed because they can't go forward, whatever, it's a win for Barry Morphew, okay? He will be deemed found not guilty or the case is dismissed. There's only one group of people to blame, and that is the prosecution team, okay? They had prosecutors bailing from that office early in this case when they were dealing with it because, for lack of a better term, it was just a, I don't want to use foul language, but let's just say a show, okay? Bleep show. And, Sally wants to know if the case gets dismissed, will they just turn around and refile? No. I think I told you the story. I had a great homicide case. And I mean great for not because people are dead. I don't want to, sound insensitive in any way, right? No. Great case. The police officer said, we're charging your client because we thought it was, weird theory of defense. And I'm like, really? Like, are you a crime scene reconstructionist? Are you a forensic pathologist? Have you done anything like that before? He's like, no, but I'm a hunter. Oh, okay. Well, tell me more. Tell me more, Mr. Hunter. Because I'm a hunter too, but tell me more. He's like, well, I figured the angle that was shot, caused those weird stuff. I'm like, okay. So I get that transcript. I get the stuff from the, autopsy, all that good stuff. I send it off to my expert witness, a great forensic pathologist, who's probably one of the most interesting people you'll ever meet. We should actually see if he'd come on the show. He was so great. Make a note of that, Julie, please. He's like, that's the most ridiculous theory I've ever heard, the hunter expert. Anyway, so we prepare our report. We turn over our expert reports in a timely manner. The defense, the prosecution takes a look at it. A week before trial, 2 weeks before trial, we have a pretrial conference before the judge. And the prosecution says, Your Honor, we move to dismiss. And I'm like, oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. And the judge says, well, I understand, your objection, but I can't make them go to trial. I'm like, well, I want to, judge, I want them to, I want Jeopardy to attach, basically. And the judge made it rather clear, and there's some good case law out there. You can't dismiss just because you're not ready to go, Mr. Prosecution. You can't get around speedy trial like that. You have to be able to show that you've come up with some new evidence along the way, and you are ready, willing, and able to go, basically. And it's got to be new evidence. I mean, literally like new evidence. Like eyewitness, I was there. They confessed to me, okay? So if the prosecution were to dismiss, it's not going to be refiled, okay? I would be very, very... the prosecution, I mean, they have got to have a few sleepless nights going on right now, but they have no one to blame for themselves. And I truly believe, and no disrespect to my friends in smaller jurisdictions, but they just are not used to handling this type and size of information that becomes available. When you start doing telephone dumps, and you know each phone dump is 1,600 pages or something crazy like that, it could be more, and you got multiple phones, and you got all these moving pieces and parts, and your theory is based upon, well, I've got this guy that's going to say the car door opened here and this and that, and you know, it's very tenuous. I said that early on. I thought it was kind of a weak case, but people, I said, hey, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. I also said that Barry Morphew hired some very, very good attorneys. And listen, you may not like Miss Itan, but, you know, who are you going to hire, so to speak, right? You're going to hire the go-along, get-along when your life, your liberty is at stake, or you're going to hire somebody that's going to go in and fight for you. You're going to hire somebody that's going to fight for you. They have fought for him. They have not delayed this case any way whatsoever. It has been nothing but the prosecution's fault on everything in this case. And I'm telling you, this order that this judge wrote has never, ever, ever, I mean, you don't see this very often. So it took a lot for a judge to get to that point to say, I'm excluding, knowing that basically I'm gutting your case. Yeah. Let's see. I've never heard of law enforcement tore apart the wall Barry Morphew was building on the day Suzanne disappeared. What happened to that? My understanding is there's nothing there. They went on every wild goose chase in this particular case, and nothing showed up. Okay, Sally Scott. Let's see. Sally Scott says, I'm just quoting evidence. Not sure what. Let's see, Lori Scott. You act like you know her. Robin Johnson, Morphew isn't winning. Defense was not able to get their tech guy to bring up things the prosecution did send to them. Okay. I'm just telling you, I'm reading from the prosecution's motion. The prosecution motion, when begging the judge not to exclude, and it says, the court has imposed sanctions tantamount to dismissal, with the defendant suffering a complete windfall. That's the old Hail Mary. Come on, judge, we're on the same team. We're in the same team, right? Yeah. Sandra, Scott, did you mean like a cluster? Yeah, you got a cluster, and then you got a blank show. Yeah. There you go. Go jumping back here. Let's see here. Let's go back here. We're almost, can you already believe it's been an hour already? It goes by so fast. And man, we haven't even plugged everything. Jeez. Because there was no evidence, any DV. Let's see here. Not sure. Scott is saying the same thing as me, but you don't like it. What are we saying? You're saying, Sally, Scott, you know she wasn't a victim of DV. Did you give Scott a thumbs up? I just, let's see here. And I'm not sure because I didn't see all of the information there, but the DV stuff, the court kept that stuff out because it was just too speculative. I mean, you got to be able to show it. I mean, that's 404B evidence. You have to call the witnesses. Well, the witness is not apparently going to be joining us for trial. Robin states, Morphew is guilty of sin. This judge should recuse himself because of his own personal experience with a previous wife, and he's showing prejudice in many ways. Well, Robin, I'm not sure what you were referring to. But if the judge thought that there should be a recusal, he would do it. If the prosecution or the defense thought there was a basis for a recusal, they should do it, just like they did as it relates to Judge Murphy, who was recused because he knew somebody that represented Barry Morphew's new girlfriend, right? Let's see here. Kate does crime. Let's see. At Sally Scott, I agree if he cheated, women would be coming out of the woodwork. He had a business, worked a second job, volunteer firefighter. I doubt he had much time to cheat. No evidence of it. Let's see. Take a look more at these couple of questions. Elizabeth Gregory. Oh, just the defense arguing with the prosecution and comments, Scott. All right. Simon. Barry stuck his hands in his pocket when talking to the police, so he's clearly killed Suzanne. Simon, I'm hoping that's a joke. Do you really think he's running out of money? Yeah. Shall we do a little calculation? Okay. Little calculation. Let's just say his attorney's reasonable hourly rate experience. We won't highball it. We won't lowball it. We'll just do reasonable rate. Let's say they're charging, say, $400 an hour. Let me jump to my handy dandy calculator here. Okay. They have three attorneys that have basically worked on this case. Okay. Let me find my other handy dandy calculator here. Let's see here. Handy dandy calculator. How long has this case been going on now? A year, right? So let's say you got one attorney, just by way of example, one attorney working, say, $400 an hour. Do you think she's working on this case? Let's just say part-time. Let's just say 4 hours a day. Let's just say 20 hours a week. That's conservative, right? 20 hours a week, 20 times 400 a week. That's $8,000 a week with one attorney. We're not talking investigators, paralegals, co-counsel, other attorneys, right? Yeah, it gets expensive, okay? So this is just the $8,000 for a month, basically, working part-time. But we know that's probably not the case. They're probably working 8 to 10 hours a day before hearings, for trial. They're probably working 12, 14 hours a day, okay? So just think of it. Say they're traveling down there. Let's just say your average day when you're in trial, and I swear to God, I'm not making this up. Let's just say 12 hours. 12 hours times 400, right? That's $4,800 a day. They had two attorneys there for those hearings, right? Plus paralegals. So let's just do 4,800. That's 9,600 for a day in court. Okay, it's going to be a three-week trial, right? So what's that, 21 days? So let's just say just the attorneys at $9,600 a day times 21 days equals $201,600. Okay, real dollars there, ladies and gentlemen. That's not including all the prep time. This case has been going on for a year. And I'm just saying the trial itself could cost $200,000, okay? So do I think he's running out of money? Yeah. Do I think that there is, you know, does he have other resources? Yeah, I think he had some savings, right? Didn't he sell the house? But he also used $500,000 of it for a cash bond, okay? And so look at those numbers, 2 weeks. You think they've worked on the case? My guess is the attorneys are trying to say, what are we going to do to get guarantees that if this case goes to trial, we get paid? Okay? Just saying. And everybody thinks, oh, you just show up for trial. It's an easy peasy thing. No. When you go to trial, it is a 12 to 14 hour day. You're in court all day. Then you're kind of preparing for the next day. Who's coming up next? Yeah, you've worked your cross-examination. You know you're going to do it, but it always changes as things go. So, yeah. Think about it. Yeah, I do think he's running out of money, okay? Because I've had clients that have had lots of money, and even they think, wow, this is getting expensive, okay? It's a lot of money. What if he does run out before trial? Well, in theory, I guess the defense could get off the case. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're too invested in it right now. And frankly, they're winning. Why give the prosecution any chance? I'm telling you, if I was in their spot, I'd be like, okay, I feel pretty confident. Let's go to trial, win, get the bond money back, and use it to pay our fees. I'd feel pretty confident about that at this point. And who knows, maybe there won't be a trial fee because, well, they won't go to trial and go from there. Yeah, he can. Yeah, Trish Norman bets up to about 500 grand. Good old homicide. You just never know. It's a lot easy, easier. It's expensive. It's the kind of thing, you give me enough money and resources, I'm going to, and that's what it takes to win against the government. Okay? They have unlimited budgets. They have unlimited people. They have DAs being loaned from other jurisdictions, right? It's huge. Don't remember, they filed a civil suit basically saying all this stuff was false. And I'm sure the prosecution's thinking that too. Like, we got to get a conviction here, man, or we're in trouble. We're going to be on the hook for some civil liability as well. Basically making it look like they withheld evidence, withheld exculpatory information. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just Robbie. What an odd contrast to Daybell, isn't it? Isn't it? I'm telling you, on a case like this, a big case like this, and you have the resources to do it, it's all out war. That's what it has to be. Okay? That's what it has to be. That's what it has to be. Otherwise, you probably stand no chance of winning. Let's see. Robin Johnson, the chipmunks are dangling from his belt to prove he is a hunter. It's Kate does crime. It's great advertising. I'm not sure what that refers to. I wonder how Chad has any more money to pay Mr. Pryor. I don't know. I mean, a death penalty case, that's a full-time job. I'm telling you, the case that I had that started out as a death penalty case, it was a full-time job. We were traveling weeks at a time. Doing mitigation, probably was some of the most fun I had as an attorney. It was just interesting, you know, going out and meeting all these family members, and you think, God, how one person can turn out one way and the others can turn out so completely different. It's rather interesting. Could have lots of theories on that. Let's see here. Scott. Daryl P., what kind of plane do you have? I have a Piper Malibu. Chad is dumb. No amount of money can save Chad. Yeah, I don't know what his financial arrangement is with Mr. Pryor. Kate does crime for the defense lawyers because it's so popular in the media and they are doing so well, great advertising. Yeah, they probably stayed. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, these two, Iris and them, they had a show about them a couple years ago. I remember I was watching through channel one night, one of those, you know, crime channels or something, and it was a case they had up in Weld County where a guy was accused of killing his wife, and he was found not guilty. I used to work in the same courtroom as Drew. She was a public defender. I was doing the conflict in there, so when the public defenders had a conflict, this is like 20-plus years ago. I know Drew's husband, he's an attorney, both great attorneys. I know of Iris, I've met her. I wouldn't say we're anything more than an acquaintance at most, at best, but her reputation precedes her. She's very smart woman, great lawyer, no doubt. And I do know that her trial partner, Drew, is a great trial attorney as well, that... Lizzie Two Shoes, Scott. So are you affirming my theory that elite defendants are capable of buying their freedom? I wouldn't say they're capable of buying their freedom. I think they're capable of leveling the playing field. Okay. I have never said that the system is absolutely fair. I have not. But like most things in life, if a problem arises and you have resources to take care of those problems, more likely you're going to have a better result the more resources that you can put towards them. More likely you can hire better people to handle those problems when you're hiring those resources to take care of them. Okay? I'm not saying the system is you know, the system is unfair in the sense that it always will be, because the laws are written in favor for the government, the prosecution. That's just the way it is. You got to have good order and discipline, so to speak, in the community. And the people that are going to prosecute those crimes are, you know, the prosecution is going to prosecute the crimes. Now, the question is it, and, you know, don't get me wrong, but I had, just by way of example, years and years ago, I used to drive a Jaguar, and the window got cracked, because the windows always crack in Colorado here. Rock hits the road, cracks all the way across. And I had just put a new windshield in, and literally like 2 days later, boom, it cracks. I'm like, I'm not replacing this car, this window again. So I drove for like 6 months with this big crack right across the front windshield, right? And during that time, I would have literally tens of clients that would come in that were, let's say, not driving a Jaguar. And they would get pulled over all the time. Oh, you're driving with a cracked windshield. That was a terrible crime. You know, we're going to charge you. Oh, by the way, can we search your car? Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Do you think there's a reason why the cop didn't pull over the guy driving the Jaguar? You know, maybe they just never saw it. Maybe they didn't have the opportunity to do it. But I'm pretty sure I drove by a police officer once or twice that if they wanted to be a jerk, they could have pulled me over and said, Scott, we're going to get you for that broken windshield. Right. But they probably figure the guy driving the Jaguar has the resources to think, man, this guy's going to make my day a living hell. You know, he'll probably make a complaint against me. He'll go to court. I'll miss time off. I'll miss my day off. He's going to fight this, blah, 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 right? Just saying. And I'm not, is the system absolutely fair? No, I'm not saying that at all. Is there a separate form of justice for the wealthy class? I think there's a separate set of justice for the political class, okay? So no, it's not fair. You're not going to buy your freedom, but you level the playing field, okay? And I've done lots of cases when I was basically a public defender representing my client where they were not guilty, found not guilty. And so a lot of it depends on the attorney you get as well, okay? They can buy great lawyers that makes the state do their jobs. Well, that's a good point, Sally. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've always said this. If you are upset with a verdict where somebody, a defendant, is found not guilty, don't blame the defense. Blame the prosecution. That means they had holes in their case. They brought the case premature. Maybe it should never have been brought at all. And I think that's what we're seeing here in the Barry Morphew case. You know, who knows? Maybe the prosecution will throw what they got against the wall, see what happens. Maybe he gets convicted. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's certainly not looking good. And when the prosecution is saying, Judge, you just gutted our case tantamount to a dismissal, unless a higher court reverses that and real quick, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Rhonda Cisco Cleveland. Sub siblings turn out very differently because some are golden children and others are scapegoats. Look those up. I've lived it. It was worse than a nightmare. Yeah, I mean, I made no secret. I have an older brother who's been in trouble. You name it. If there's been a drug that was created or distributed, he's probably taken it. And just, you know, it's completely different world. Wouldn't know unless somebody said we were related. You wouldn't think it was the same one. And I remember he was my older brother, so I was always like, every time I went to school, it was always, oh, aren't you so-and-so's brother? Like, oh, you're so different. Oh. Well, I'm trying to be not associated with him, right? My children, okay? They each think that they're the other one is the golden child that gets all the attention. I love both of my children very dearly. Leah Simpson, drug dealers drive nice cars too. Yeah, but they don't drive Jaguars. I'm just kidding. let's see here. Cosby had money and they walked all over him. until he got an appeal. You know, let's see here. Sometimes over time is the final determination. Scott, does Scott have a favorite bourbon? You know, I don't drink normally Uncivil Law. What's the word I'm looking for? I just don't drink. Now, occasionally, you know, if there's a big wedding thing or something, I'll have a sip. But yeah, no. Darcy, are you the oldest? No, I'm the middle. Lottie Martin, how do you have the heart to heart chats with people and acquaintances of people you represent? What I'm saying is, are your people chatty as they were 20 years ago, Scott? How do you have the heart to heart chats with people and acquaintances of people you represent? You know, I just try to be nice to everybody. You know, we don't usually talk about the facts of the case with other people because they're not my client, unless the client brings it up and I say, hey, we're not going to talk about that, then we don't never do it. Let's see here. Got a couple more questions and then we'll got to run off and go do our Patreon show. Christy Tuff. I was joking. Your good sense of humor is always appreciated. Wow, you're the younger. My mom was like you. She saw her older siblings and was like, nope. That's pretty much it, Darcy. That's pretty much it. But thank you, Uncivil Law. Sorry, just don't drink. I just, you know, and you know, we all did like high school. Everybody drank in high school, right? Because that was what you did, right? Drank some in college, but, and I was younger. I was in the military. It never really hit me until I was on active duty. But they would have like officer calls, and you like have to go drink. And I'm like, man, if you just have a beer, I just felt like crap. You know, when as you get older, you don't recover as quickly as you used to, and lots of it, whether you exercise or drink. And so I was like, I'm just going to stop. And I just don't drink. I have no, you know, but I do come from a long line of alcoholics in my family. And I'm not speaking out of school here, but my older brother is, you know, my mother's, you know, maiden name was Gourley. That's about as Irish as you come. And my grandfather was an alcoholic till he was much older in life. And just one of those things, I just like, man, there's only so many things you can control in life, and I want to be able to control it. And if I can't, I'm not going to do it. So I don't want to be that one drink, because nobody wakes up saying, hey, I'm going to be an alcoholic, right? Scott, do you have the right to see the police notes in a traffic ticket? Normally, Simon, you do, yes. That's usually where the cop writes on the back. Guy was a complete jerk, very polite and respectful. Judge, go easy on him, but, you know, he was speeding, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. Scott, I certainly wouldn't take Chad's house if you paid me. The people of Southeast Idaho are not happy with crazy Chad. Pretty sure the community would like to push over the house. Well, we went out to see the house. It's, frankly, I expected it to be much bigger than it really was. Frank, do you remember that? Chad Daybell's house, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we hypothetically fly the drone down the road next to the house so we weren't over the house, right? I thought it was a lot bigger. I know you probably don't have that handy, do you?
No.
The drone footage now, yeah. We did that video, though. It was way back when. God, it was over a year ago, wasn't it? It was kind of COVID time because we flew out there. We're like, let's go. We don't have everything going on. Let's fly out. We flew out with his dad, and we had lunch, talked to some people, flew the drone over the house. Yeah, the house is that's where I'm looking at. It's much smaller than I thought. They made it sound like there was this big palatial ranch. Like, my first thought was, how would somebody not notice if somebody's out there digging holes, so to speak? It doesn't make sense. And, All right, well, gosh, can you believe? Wow, hour and a half. Jeez, it goes by so fast. And I forget to do all the commercials. We just get talking. We read comments. I don't do all the commercials. And then I think, why don't we not make any money? And, Yeah. Have you, Lola, have you looked at any cases where nurses are being criminally charged? You know, my daughter sent me a story. I think it was the Vanderbilt nurse that was accused of like criminally negligent homicide or something to that effect for killing somebody. Since my daughter went to Vanderbilt, that got her attention, told her don't kill anybody. Rhonda Cisco Cleveland, my mom plans to leave everything to my brother who hasn't visited her in 20 years. Well, my parents are leaving me nothing, which is okay, because I didn't, I don't want anything, don't need anything, and we haven't really talked that much in 20 years. So, considering the number of kids, Chad was the best-selling, was no best-selling author. All right. Hey, want to thank everybody for joining us here this evening. I wish I would have taken my first drink. If you don't start, you don't have to stop. Lots of cases. All right. We're going to go and do our Patreon show. So if you haven't done the Patreon show, and I can't remember last week, we forgot to do the Magic 8 Ball. What's, why was that? Probably because Julie wasn't here to remind us of it. Julie goes on vacation and the whole show goes to, the whole show goes to crap. No, I'm just kidding. Frank did great and Scott tried his best. But he forgot all that. But Julie's back. If you haven't noticed, all the postings going back up again, so we're good. So, yeah. All right. Thanks for watching. Thanks for all your comments. Hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to like, subscribe, hit that little bell. We'll see you next time. If you haven't become a patron, do so, and you can join us here in about 5 minutes. And we'll have the call-in line as well, so you can have a conversation. We can talk about Lori Vallow. We can talk about Barry Morphew. We can talk about anything you want, because guess what? You're a Patreon. It's your show. We'll answer all your questions. We'll see you on Patreon in just a few minutes. Have a wonderful night.